Well, are you fully a Christian? Or are you missing that hidden key? Does your life, I wonder, sometimes seem a bit humdrum? A bit run-of-the-mill? Do you need that extra something to be truly fulfilled? Now, if you're a Christian here this lunchtime, I would guess that is something that has bothered you from time to time. Perhaps you've looked around enviously at other people. You feel that there are others who seem to have much more of an intimate relationship with Christ than you do. Or you feel that there are other people who seem to have much deeper and more spiritual experiences than you. Or perhaps you feel that there are people who seem to not have this ongoing battle with sin, this ongoing battle with temptation that you seem to have. Perhaps you feel you have not got true fulfillment as a Christian and you want that fullness. Well, what is the solution to getting true fulfillment? Last week while I was on holiday, I picked up this book by Ben Renshaw. It's called The Secrets of Happiness, 100 Ways to True Fulfillment. Now, is this book, is it the answer? Is this the key to true fulfillment? Let me just read you the introduction. This is what he says. In this fast-changing and unpredictable world, it's a wise move to unravel happiness. Choose it. Feel it. Know it. Hold it. Breathe it. Play with it. Ultimately, this book will enable you to give up the pursuit of happiness and come home to a place of peace and true fulfillment. So if we want true fulfillment, Ben Renshaw says we just read his book. And he says it's pretty easy. He says there are 100 ways to true fulfillment. My favorite one was number 57, which was create internal sunshine. That's how we go about true fulfillment, creating internal sunshine. Let me just read you what he says. To create internal sunshine, we should picture the sun shining in your mind whenever you need a boost. That's simple, apparently. I don't know how you do it, but anyway, there we go. So, is that the key to true fulfillment? I don't think so. Let's see what Paul says about the key to true fulfillment. And so our first point you'll see there on the handout, on the service sheet, the truth about true fulfillment. The truth about true fulfillment. I wonder if you might look at verse 9 of chapter 2 there on page 1183. Verse 9 and what Paul writes there. He says, "For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority." Now these two verses, they sum up the theme of the whole letter of Colossians so well. They really just sum it up perfectly. Look at verse 9. It says, Christ is fully God. That's the message of verse 9. Christ is fully God. And then verse 10 says that we have all fullness in Christ. Paul's saying the truth is that all the fulfillment we can ever have on this earth, all the fulfillment we can ever have, it is ours in Christ alone. As Christians, we have complete fullness in Christ. Just look again at verse 10, would you? Just look at it to see it. Verse 10, "And you have been given fullness in Christ." Now imagine, if you would, it's the end of your working day. You're probably looking forward to that. It's the end of your working day, and what you do at the end of your working day is you decide that you're going to go to the pub with a colleague, okay? So off you go to the pub with your colleague, you go in, you go to the bar, you're going to order two pints, and lo and behold, who should you find at the bar being the barman but me, okay? So you come up to me, the barman, you say, "Jago, I'd like two pints." And I say, "Very well, here you go, and here are your two pints." Okay, here are your two pints. So I'll just put them down there for you. Now just imagine that situation, and I should think a number of things are probably going through your mind at this point. First thing is probably that I'm not a very good barman at all. And if you're more of a ruthless kind of character, probably what you do is you'd call for the manager immediately and ask for me to be sacked. But if you're slightly kinder, then rather than asking for the manager to get me sacked, you probably say something along the lines of this to me. You say, Jacob, hang on a moment. I asked for 2 pints there. This one is half empty. This one, it's not full up to the brim. Look at this one. This one's fine. It's full up to the brim. It's a full pint. But this one's pathetic. It's half a pint. Fill it up like the other one. You see, what people were telling the Colossian Christians back then, that they were like this pint here. They were saying that they were partially empty, that they were in need of a top-up. They were in need of a little bit extra to be totally fulfilled, to be totally filled full. But what happens is the Apostle Paul, he comes along and he says to the Colossians and he says to you and he says to me, he says, that is absolute rubbish. He says, if you are here today as a Christian, if you are in Christ, if you're a Christian in Christ, then you are not like this pint at all. You're not like this pint. He says, you're like this pint. You are totally full. Total fullness, completely fulfilled. You don't need anything else. You don't need a top-up. Just look at verse 10 again. What does Paul say? He said, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. And the verses following, they show us how we've been given this amazing fullness as Christians. Paul says it has come about as God has brought all of us who are Christians, he's brought us from spiritual death to spiritual life by joining us to Jesus. Just have a look at the following verses and how often Paul says that we are either, he says we're in Christ or he says we're with Christ. In Christ or with Christ. Just look at verse 11. Verse 11. In him, in Christ, you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature. Not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. Having been buried with him, with Christ, in baptism and raised with him, with Christ, through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. Again and again, in Christ, with Christ, by Christ. And the picture's of a baptism, isn't it? Yesterday, over at the other lunchtime service that we run at St. Paul's on Wednesday lunchtime, we actually had somebody, Julia, who was baptized yesterday. She'd been coming along to the lunchtime service for about 2 years. About a year ago, she did the Christianity Explored course, and yesterday, because the midweek Wednesday lunchtime fellowship is her main sort of fellowship, a Christian fellowship, she got baptized. Yesterday, it was an amazingly exciting celebration. Now, yesterday, unfortunately, we didn't have sort of some sort of giant paddling pool, so we couldn't get her in there and dunk her completely and sort of see how long she could hold her breath for. We just had to sort of make do with a few splashes of water. But just picture in your mind's eye, if you will, one of those baptisms where someone is dunked in completely, just as it would have been in Jesus' time, people being baptized in a river. Just imagine that picture. That's the symbol of baptism, being dunked under the water, symbolizing our old life, characterized by our sinful nature, being dunked, being put to death, being buried. And then as the person comes up out of the water, symbolizing our new life with Christ started and begun. And so with Julia's baptism yesterday, it was a public symbol of what Julia wanted going forwards. That's what she was saying. Getting baptized, she was saying, I'm going forwards in my life, I'm going forwards with Christ. Not without him, but with him. Going forward connected to him. Going forward raised with him. Going forward alive with Christ. Now, of course, when Julia was baptized, it wasn't the water, it wasn't the baptism that achieved all that for Julia. The baptism, it was just a sign, a picture, a symbol of what God had done for Julia in Christ. And you know, he did it for Julia. He has done it for me. He has done it for you, if you are here as a Christian in Christ. And he's done it. Verses 14 and 15 tell us how he's done it. He has done it because of Jesus' death on the cross. You know, we have total fulfillment in Jesus because of his death on the cross. But the reality is, sometimes it doesn't feel like it, does it? Sometimes we don't feel fulfilled with Jesus. We want more. Now, I'm sure none of you had this problem that I had when I was about age 4 on Christmas Day. I rather like chocolate mousse. In fact, I very much like chocolate mousse. So at Christmas Day, age 4, I ate rather a lot of chocolate mousse. And I ate so much chocolate mousse, and I ate lots and lots of chocolate mousse, that I was completely full. But the problem was, I didn't think that I was completely full. So I thought there was still more room to be filled up with chocolate mousse. So I ate more chocolate mousse, and I ate still more chocolate mousse. I ate more chocolate mousse, and I was violently sick. In fact, I was so ill, you know, that it took me 20 years to ever eat chocolate mousse again after that incident. 20 years! It's only recently that I've started eating chocolate mousse again. You see, it is very, very dangerous to think that we are not full when actually we are full. And Paul tells us that it is very, very dangerous to think that we are not full in Jesus and to look elsewhere for true fulfillment. Paul says, it's our second point there on the service sheets, he says there are threats to true fulfillment. Threats. Have a look at verse 8, if you would. Look at verse 8. Paul writes, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ." So the point is that all we need for fullness is to be in Christ Jesus. We don't need to look elsewhere for a topper. And in the last bit of chapter 2, after the bit that Davina read, Paul, he actually gives three examples of three different types of threats. I put them down there on the service sheet, so you can just see them there. And the first threat I put there is the threat of super religious ritualism, I've called it, in verses 16 and 17. So today that might be the footballer at the World Cup who always crosses himself before he goes onto the football pitch. Or perhaps more closer to home, the person who thinks that their daily work, their job, that it's not very spiritual. They think it's not very spiritual, it's just sort of for ordinary Christians, so they give up their job but to be more religious, to be more fulfilled. You know, that won't top up your fulfillment level. Or the second threat, the threat of super spiritual mysticism in verses 18 and 19. That's the person who thinks that to know fullness as a Christian, that you must see a vision, or you must speak in tongues. Now please don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with speaking in tongues, there's nothing wrong with seeing a vision, but you can be, indeed you are, totally fulfilled as a Christian, just by being in Christ. You don't need certain special experiences to be filled up. And then the third danger is what I called super strict legalism. That's in verses 20 to 23. Super strict legalism. So personal boundaries. Personal boundaries that perhaps we impose on ourselves. They may be helpful. So for me, I aim never to drink much more than about that much alcohol in one night. It may be a helpful thing. But if we think that rules, if we think that regulations in of themselves, that they make us more godly, that they make us more fulfilled as Christians, then we're being completely fooled. You see, all we need for fullness is to be in Christ Jesus. Jesus plus super religious ritualism. Jesus plus super spiritual mysticism. Jesus plus super strict legalism. All of those, they're threats. That they're dangerous. They're dangerous because we end up focusing more on them. We end up focusing more on the spiritual experience or focusing more on this super strict religious program that we're following. That's the danger. We end up focusing more on those things than we do focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the danger. And so as we finish, we need to remember our third point. The third point there on the handout, the technique for true fulfillment. What's the technique for true fulfillment? Because the question is, what do we do? What do we do if we're sitting here and we don't feel we have fullness? If we don't feel totally fulfilled, it's all very well saying, yeah, you have total fullness in Jesus. It's all very well saying it. But what happens if we don't feel it? What happens actually if our life is feeling fairly run-of-the-mill? And quite often my life, it does feel fairly run-of-the-mill. Well, Paul's answer to true fulfillment, it is a lot shorter than our friend Ben Renshaw. He doesn't give 100 ways to true fulfillment. Paul just gives one way to true fulfillment. And he says this one way in the first two verses of today's passage. And these two verses, they are verses that I would love us all to hold on to over this summer break. Please, can we hold on to these two verses? They give us the path to true fulfillment. Just have a look at them. Verses 6 and 7, starting there at the bottom of the page. Verse 6. This is the technique for true fulfillment. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. If you're not yet a Christian, the first thing that you need to do for true fulfillment is to receive Christ Jesus as Lord, as it says at the start of verse 6. That is the first thing you need to do. Receive Christ Jesus as Lord. Nothing would be more wonderful than that. Maybe today, chat with someone you know who's a Christian. Chat with me, chat with Charmaine about receiving Jesus as your Lord. But for most of us, we've already done that. How do we continue? How do we continue? What does our verse say? It says we continue to live in Jesus. It says we continue to be rooted and built up in Jesus. It says we continue to be strengthened in the faith in Jesus that we were taught. It says we continue to be overflowing with thankfulness for Jesus. It says we stick with Jesus. To know the deep things of God. To grow as a Christian. We don't need to rush off to a supposedly particularly spiritual location. We don't need to rush off to a supposedly particularly spiritual course or a supposedly particularly spiritual regime. We just need to make sure that however we're doing it, I'm sure that's going to involve prayer, it's going to involve Bible reading, we need to make sure that we are focusing supremely on Jesus. Focusing supremely on him, not on anything else. Think of some of the tallest buildings in London, the BT Tower nearby, Canary Wharf, the Gherkin. They go up very, very high into the sky. But actually, beneath the surface, there are huge foundations, aren't there? The only way that they can be very tall buildings is because they are very deep under the surface too. And it is the same for each of us as we look to continue as Christians. All we need is Jesus. But we don't need to look anywhere else. But we do need to drive our foundations, our roots, deep down into Jesus. Not putting our roots anywhere else, just driving them deeper and deeper down into Jesus. So this summer, please, as we have this break of 6 or so weeks, let's hold on to these verses. Let's keep being more and more rooted in Jesus so we can grow taller and taller as Christians to the glory of God. Of Christ Jesus, our Lord. And shall we finish by praying? Let's pray that this might be the case for each one of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we, each one of us, might know the fullness we have in the Lord Jesus. We do pray for any here who are not yet linked to your Son. We pray that you would help them come to a place where they're willing to receive Christ Jesus as their Lord. And Father God, we pray for all of us over the summer. We pray that you would help us continue
to live in Jesus.
We pray that you would help us be rooted in him and built up in him. We pray that each of us, that we might be strengthened, not weakened in our faith. We pray that each one of us, that we would be overflowing with thankfulness for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.